Before we begin our Torah study, let's take a moment to pray together. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. God made a promise to Abraham to make him into a great nation. The Lord spoke this when Abraham was not a young man, but he was an old man. Do you remember exactly how old? It was 75. Who knew that? 75 years old. Genesis chapter 12 tells us this. This promise came when Abraham was 75. His wife was long past childbearing age. And through this experience, we learn something, that the promises of God are stored up for us, and then they're released at just the right time. Because of this, we have to learn to remain strong. We have to remain hopeful. We need to remain faithful, because God brings forth according to his timing, not according to ours. Have you ever tried to convince the Lord that he's late and that he ought to hurry up? I think we all have that experience. But the Lord knows what is the right time to do things. And he knows that there will be times when we will have to wait on the Lord. And when you're waiting on the Lord, it's not like just waiting passively or inactively. There's purpose and activity to it. I like what Isaiah has to say, Isaiah 40, starting in verse 30. Though youth grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength, or they will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow tired. They will walk and not become weary. And then Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 24, says this: The Lord is my portion, says my soul. For this reason, I have hope in him. I want you to repeat that after me. Repeat this phrase after me. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. For this reason, I have hope in him. Let's keep going. Verse 25. You repeat after me. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. There you go. You don't have to repeat, there you go. The Lord is my portion, therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It's good that he waits silently for the Lord, the salvation of the Lord. Waiting for the Lord is not the same thing as just waiting. It isn't passive. It isn't inactive. Maybe when you hear the word wait, you remember the voice of your mother when you were asking for cookies. And she said, wait. And what you were supposed to do then is what? Wait, right? And then you'd ask again, and she would say, wait. Now, if you were one of those kids who waited until your mom left the kitchen, and then you climbed up to the place where the cookies were hidden, and you got them out anyway, you probably don't know anything about waiting. And so this could be useful for you, because waiting is not a matter of just doing nothing and looking at your clock and thinking there will be a moment. That is an aspect of waiting, but it's not at all what waiting on the Lord and waiting for the Lord is about. When we wait for the Lord, we become active. We express our hope in him. We express our thanksgiving that good is going to come from him to us. We act in an assertive way by seeking him. The scripture says to pray diligently. And in Hebrew, it basically repeats the word for prayer. It says pray by praying. Seek the Lord diligently. How do you seek the Lord diligently? You seek him by seeking him. You don't seek him by thinking about or dreaming about seeking him. You seek him by activity, by praying and fasting, by listening and obeying the direction that he does give to you. If you've prayed and you haven't gotten answers, I encourage you to fast and pray. Humble yourself before the Lord and say to him, I have no power, but I'm looking to you. I'm not trusting in my human ability, I'm trusting in you. When we fast and we pray, we're not just dieting, that's not what we're doing. We're not just afflicting our souls, we're humbling ourselves before the Lord, and we are looking to him to do what we could never do for ourselves. When we're waiting for the Lord, it's important for us to be strong. We have to be strong in our vision. We have to be strong in faith. We have to be strong in hope so that we can be strong for other people. Because while you're waiting on the Lord for what you're looking for, God will still want to use you to strengthen other people who are waiting on the Lord. That's why we also need to learn to rejoice, not just in the things that we receive from the Lord ourselves, but in the good things that other people receive. When I heard from Rondi Wagner that her mother, who had been diagnosed with renal failure, that her mother was perfectly fine and out of the hospital, and that the doctors now say she doesn't have renal failure, I was rejoicing. I was rejoicing because it makes me happy to see God work on behalf of others that I care about. When the Dexter Houses brought their son Mason up for prayer after one of the services recently, and they explained he'd had a hearing test at the doctor's and he couldn't hear out of one ear, I thought, well, it's great that we would pray. And we prayed simple prayers, asking God for healing and for Mason to hear just fine. He was taken to the doctor this week, and the doctor checked both of his ears, and he's hearing perfectly out of both ears. I'm rejoicing. And I'm not saying, well, what about me, Lord? I'm rejoicing in everything that he does. When you learn to rejoice in the good things he's doing for other people, you know what? More good will come to you. The scripture teaches us when we're waiting for the Lord, we have to actively take heart. We have to find courage. We have to encourage other people in order to encourage ourselves. If you need encouragement, look for encouragement to come to you from God. He'll remind you of things that he's done. He'll remind you of things he did for you or for other people. It'll make you strong in him. And then tell other people about the wonderful things that he's done. As you tell other people with sincerity and with genuineness, you know what? They'll be encouraged, and that will encourage you, and you'll be stronger as well. Now, I want to take a few moments to talk about the alternatives to waiting for the Lord, because it's important to pay attention to these. There are times when we need to be waiting for the Lord, but we don't. So let's look at some of the alternatives. One of the alternatives that people embrace instead of waiting for the Lord is what I would call giving up. It just means quitting. Instead of remaining in trust of God, instead of seeking the Lord, instead of being encouraged and grateful to him, we can just give up. And we can think it's never going to happen. Maybe you've had that temptation. Maybe you've been through a time where you feel like you've waited so long that it's just time to quit and to give up on whatever it is that God had put in your heart. How many can relate to that? You've had to walk through that experience. Sometimes people don't recognize that they give up, but instead of waiting for the Lord, they find another dream or vision or something different from the one that the Lord has given. It has a lesser vision or a different vision, a different goal, a different purpose. And people may not even realize that they stopped waiting on the Lord and waiting for the Lord, and that they embraced something else. If that's happened to you, you can get back on course. Sometimes people, instead of waiting for the Lord, just give in to all the normal emotions that may come to us when we've waited what we think is too long. The emotions of disappointment, the emotions of discouragement and losing hope. You know, there's a battle out there that touches our soul. It touches our heart. It touches our mind. And there are times when our hearts can lead us astray. I used to tell people, just do what's in your heart. Then I found out that can cause more problems. We can become so disappointed that we do not even remember what God has said he wants to do. An alternative to waiting for the Lord is what I call spiritual amnesia. Instead of waiting for him and seeking him, we become amnesiacs. We can't even remember. This is why it's a good practice to write down the things that you are praying for and waiting for, because one day you may forget, even for a moment, you may forget something that caused you to know what God wanted you to wait for and to seek him for. And by going back to your journals, you can refresh yourself. Now, for type A personalities, maybe you don't do any of those. But instead of waiting for the Lord, many people just enter into striving. You know what I mean by that? I mean that they try to make things happen even when they know God's not in it. They're not waiting for the Lord, and their spirit and their soul are telling them, don't do it, you're striving. When our soul and our spirit are warning us that we are striving, and then we end up saying, well, I'm just going to do it myself. Of course, there are times when each of us needs to act in the power that we have and according to the boundaries that God gives us. So I'm not talking about passivity as a way of life. When God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12, God said to Abraham, Lech Lecha, which could be translated, Abraham, get yourself up and out. Now, Abraham could have been a passive, inactive kind of person who said, you want me to get up? You get me up. But the Lord said, you get yourself up and you get out. The Lord said, you do that and I'll show you where to go. I'll show you a land that I have in mind for you. Now, what if Abraham had just reversed everything? He said, well, if God really wants me to get up and out, he'll find a way to do it. He'll miraculously send a camel or a donkey or something that'll just wake up under my bed one night and lift me up and carry me out. Then I'll know it's the Lord. Or what if Abraham had said, well, I don't mind getting up and getting out, but I'll choose where I'm going. You see, when the Lord gives us a promise and he puts boundaries and details around that, we need to take those things seriously. When the Lord says, you get yourself up and out, I'll show you where to go, he doesn't mean get out your map, get out your bucket list of all the holiday places you've been meaning to go to before you expire, and go wherever you want to. He means this, get up, go out, let me lead you. When the children of Israel were leaving the land of Egypt, the Lord promised to lead them by his presence in a pillar of fire at night, in a cloud by day. If you're in a desert setting, you'll appreciate those two versions, the warmth at night that comes from fire and the protection, the shade that comes from the cloud. And you're glad that the Lord didn't get those reversed. But the Lord said, when I move, you move. And even if you've been in a place for a long time that's been good, when I move, you move. So it turns out when the Lord says he wants to lead us, guess what that means? He wants to lead us. And to be led by the Spirit does not mean that you become random and chaotic in your life or just led by your impulses. It means that the Spirit of God really does lead you. So striving, I'm going to do it myself. How many can relate to that? Some people just give up. Other people just strive. It's important to know your tendencies. Now, another alternative to waiting for the Lord is just not seeking the Lord, prayerlessness. No fasting, no prayer, no continuing faithfully in service, giving up on the things that we were doing that are important for our obedience and our life of faith and our community life with the Lord. Galatians 6:9 warns us about this. It says, "Let's not become weary in doing good, because at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up." You see, if we don't give up and if we continue to seek the Lord, He'll continue to use us while we're waiting. When Abraham didn't have a son, even though he had a promise, he still had a meaningful life. He still continued to move forward in life and to seek God and to be faithful to God. I like what the context says in Galatians 6, starting in verse 8. "The one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruptible things. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let's not lose heart in doing good, because in due time, at the proper time," say that with me, "at the proper time, we will reap if we don't grow weary. So then while we have opportunity," that's a good phrase, let's say it together, "while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people and especially to those who are of the household of the faith." So seeking the Lord and serving the Lord, these are important. If we give up on those, it's an indication we're not waiting on the Lord, we're not waiting for the Lord. We maybe are just waiting, but for nothing. Another alternative to waiting for the Lord is just forgetting to be grateful. Forgetting to give thanks for the things that have happened that are good for us or good for other people. I try to cultivate gratitude. I pay attention when other people tell me about the good things that God has done for them. And I rejoice. And I know something. God, who is good to them, is good to all of us. And then a last alternative we could say is just giving in to our weaknesses, indulging ourselves in any way that brings comfort to us rather than waiting for the Lord. Now let's turn to Genesis 18. Take a lesson from Abraham and Sarah. It says, starting in verse 1, "The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance to the tent during the heat of the day." The Hebrew there for appear is vayera, and we could translate it this way: the Lord visited and was visible to Abraham. This was not a dream. It was not a mystical vision. This was an appearance of God. And if people ask you, well, where do you find God showing up like Yeshua in the Torah? You can take them here. You can take them to Genesis throughout the book, and you'll discover ways that God has appeared. Verse 2, "Abraham lifted his eyes and he looked, and there in front of him stood three men. On seeing them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, prostrated himself on the ground, and he said, 'My Lord, if I found favor in your sight, please don't leave your servant.'" Now, it's important to have some context here. This event is happening right after Abraham and all his guys had obeyed the commandment to be circumcised. And so they're in recovery at this moment. You could imagine Abraham sitting out in the heat of the day. Three strangers come up, and he could have said, "Oi." He could have said, "It's hot." He could have said, "Oi, I'm hurting." And he could have said, "Oi, who are these guys? What a terrible time for them to come." Sometimes God comes in an inconvenient way to do an extraordinary thing for us. So Abraham puts aside all the oys and he says, "If I found favor in your sight, please don't leave your servant. Please let me send for some water so that you can wash your feet, then rest under the tree. And I'll bring a piece of bread. Now that you've come to your servant, refresh yourselves before going on." Very well, they replied, do what you've said. You see, Abraham turned this into an opportunity, not a complaint. Let's continue to verse 6. Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, 3 measures of the best flour kneaded and make cakes. Abraham ran to the herd, took a good tender calf, gave it to the servant who hurried to prepare it. And then he took curds, milk, and the calf which he had prepared. And he set it all before the men, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. And they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? Now that could be scary. These are strangers, and they're asking about Sarah by name. And Abraham says, she's there in the tent. Now the Hebrew says in verse 10, and he said. And the question is, who is the he? It's not they now, it's he. I will certainly return to you around this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. So one of them, and I think we know who the one is, it's the Lord. The Lord who came in this unusual way and was visible in the form of a man, says, I will return to you. When? This time next year. And Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Sarah heard him from the entrance of the tent behind him. Abraham and Sarah were old. They were advanced in years. Sarah was past the age of childbearing. That's to put it mildly. But also to help you understand, these are not idiot cavemen. You know, we don't understand how natural things work. These are people who understand human life and physical conditions. They're old. They're advanced in years. Sarah was past the age of childbearing. And so Sarah laughed to herself thinking, I'm old. So is he. Am I to have pleasure again? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and ask, am I really going to bear a child when I'm so old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? What's your answer to that question? Is anything too difficult? What if he wants to do things later than you want? Is that too difficult for the Lord? No, just for us, right? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the set time, at this season next year, I will return to you and Sarah will have a son. The Hebrew is explicit. There was an appointed time for this. The Lord came at just the right time. Now, Genesis 1:1 begins with this idea that God creates out of nothing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then throughout the Torah and the Tanakh, we see how God again creates. If God created at one time, he wants to be prepared to answer the question, well, how can we know that this is really true? And he reveals it in part by doing creative miracles. He takes what's insufficient and he causes it to be sufficient. If Sarah was 25 and Abraham was 25 and they had a baby, what does it prove? People can have babies, right? But when someone's 75 and the other one's 75, when they get on in years and now they're even older at this point, do you know how old they are? Abraham is, I think, 99, is that right? Yeah. Very unlikely a 99-year-old is going to father a child. So God wants us to learn something. What is insufficient in reality can be sufficient in God's hands. God calls the things that are not as though they were. He's not limited by insufficiency. So when you're in a situation where you're hoping for what you don't have and what you do have is not enough, that is the condition that God uses in order to do his great work. That is one of the ways that God demonstrates that he is the creator who can create out of nothing. So the Lord says, is anything too difficult for the Lord? It's a rhetorical question. And it's answered elsewhere in Scripture. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in power and awesome in deeds, nothing, absolutely nothing is too difficult for thee. I learned that song when I was a new believer. I haven't forgotten it 40 years later. At the set time, this season next year, I will return to you and Sarah will have a son. Sarah denied all of it and she said, I didn't laugh because she was afraid. And the Lord said, not true, you did laugh. The Lord's timing requires that we wait from 75 until 99 and then 100. 25 years of waiting. The Lord's timing requires that we wait, that we have patience, that we have strength, that we have hope, that we have faith. But even more than that, the Lord times many things in order to build up those qualities in us. You may be saying, why, Lord? And the answer is, he wants to develop strength in you. I was at the gym yesterday doing squats. I was tempted to say, why, Lord? Why am I doing this? To be stronger. And the way you get stronger is by repetition, right? And doing what is currently harder for you than your strength allows. You build up strength by repetition, by doing things that are just a little bit more difficult than you think you're able to handle. The Lord's timing will cause your endurance to be built up, your perseverance to be built up, what some call grit. You'll develop grit when you learn to wait. You'll also develop trust and hopefulness and faith. Imagine if every time the Lord said something, instantly it happened. It'd be more like a genie at work. You make a wish and it happens. God says something. It would mean God doesn't have a view of the long term nor a view of how to make you strong. Psalm 27, verse 14 says this, wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. Waiting for the Lord will make you stronger. Now, let me say it another way. Because we have to wait for the Lord, it will reveal our weaknesses. And when we're waiting for God and our weaknesses are revealed, God can work to build us up so that our weaknesses become strengths. Our faith may be weak, our hope may be weak, our courage may be weak, but waiting for the Lord will cause us to become stronger, will cause us to become more faithful, will cause us to become more hopeful. You can't get it any other way. People have tried. I think many of us have prayed this prayer, Lord, give me patience now. Have you tried that? We want to stop for a second and pray. I thought I'd turned off my ringer, but I got a text from the Roses. And it's about Brian Rose's grandmother. She went into the hospital for what was not a big procedure, but for an 86-year-old, any procedure in the hospital can be risky. And it was a procedure for her heart. Her aorta ended up getting torn. And to try to repair it required open heart surgery, which is very serious. That led to renal failure. And the doctors concluded that she could not recover. And so the family was making the decision today to take her off life support. And this just came in. Grandma Rose is showing a tiny bit of responsiveness. Her eyes are opened. She can look from side to side. Her kidneys show a tiny bit of functionality. They were going to take her off of life support, but the doctors think now it might be too soon. The family is in turmoil and doesn't know what to do. My cousin is an intensive care nurse and advises the family say their goodbyes. and take her off of life support. She knows the road ahead is tremendously long and difficult for an 86-year-old woman. If she recovers from this, she'll need her left leg fully amputated and will have an open heart surgery to recover from. We are all praying that the family decides to let her go. She's had a wonderful quality of life up until now, and I can't imagine her getting to struggle through this recovery process. You can imagine the difficult feelings that they're having right now. They really need an outpouring of wisdom and guidance from the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we lift up the Rose family, and we pray that you would keep them company during this moment, and you would guide and direct them, and that your peace would lead them. We thank you, Lord, for a life of faith that Grandma Rose has had, and we trust you to watch over every day that you have assigned to her. We pray that the family would know what to do and that your will would be done in Yeshua's name. Amen. My mother had a brain hemorrhage many years ago, and she was put on a respirator, and the doctors noticed that she was rejecting the respirator, so we all gathered in anticipation of her being taken off life support and then dying. They took her off life support after we had all wept and mourned together, and when they disconnected her, she went like this. She took a breath, and she lived for many years. She never fully recovered, but God was at work in the extension of her life after that time, and he did miraculous things for her. And I believe reversed her spiritual condition, even though her physical condition may not have changed very much. So we know this, as long as there's life, God's at work. And we have to keep seeking him to know what to do. And sometimes when we think it's over, it may not be over. And sometimes we may be surprised about what's next. And at other times, we have to release and just trust the Lord, who is good all the time. Isaiah said, those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. When you're in a time of trouble, when you're in a time of waiting, when you don't know what to do, wait for the Lord. Don't just wait in anxiety. Don't just wait with emotion, but wait for the Lord and wait on the Lord. Everything begins to make sense when you get this into your heart and into your mind. Because if you're waiting for the Lord, you can be a blessing to other people who are also waiting. You'll need strength and hope and faith. And if you want other people to be able to lean on you, you need to be leaning on the Lord. If you're leaning on the Lord, he can give to you something that can be useful to another person. Character is built during the times of waiting on the Lord. Let's go back to Genesis 21. As you're turning there, listen to these words from Romans 5, 6 about Yeshua. It says, while we were still without any power and helpless, at just the right time, Messiah died for the ungodly. At what time? Just the right time. You see, Messiah is a master of perfect timing. He has perfect timing. When he comes and when he acts, it's perfect timing. Do you remember Lazarus had died? And his family thought, Yeshua, why didn't you come earlier? If you had come earlier, everything would have been okay. He stood outside that burial place. He wept. And then he called to Lazarus. And Lazarus shook off death, came back out, came alive. Was that the right time? It was the right time. So many situations in Yeshua's life were at just the right time. There was a moment when people wanted to kill him. And so he wouldn't go to the places where they wanted to kill him. But then when he would go, he wouldn't let them kill him. So he laid down his life on his terms at when? Just the right time. Now back to Genesis 21, starting in verse 1. We'll end with this passage. The Lord remembered Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. So from Genesis 18 to Genesis 21, what's the time frame? 1 year. 1 year. Because that's what the Lord said is just the right time, right? The Lord remembers Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the very time God had said to him. Now let me say this discreetly, but Abraham and Sarah had to do something in order to conceive. They could not cause conception, but they had to have marital intimacy together. And Abraham and Sarah, who could not conceive, were able to conceive because of the blessings of the Lord, because it was just the right time. Abraham called his son, born to him whom Sarah bore to him, Yitzchak. Abraham circumcised his son Yitzchak when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him to do so. Why did Abraham circumcise Isaac, Yitzchak, on the eighth day? Because that's what the Lord told him to do. When the Lord gives specificity, pay attention. Why the eighth day? Because that's the good day to do it. Why is it a good day? Because that's what the Lord said. This is the time to do it. What makes it a good time is that the Lord says it's the right time. Vitamin K apart. Blood clotting apart. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Yitzchak, which means laughter, was born to him. And thus begins a whole new chapter in Jewish humor. Sarah said, God has given me good reason to laugh. Now everyone who hears about it will laugh with me. And so Abraham and Sarah together are the first Jewish comedian couple. And through their experience, everyone who hears about this is supposed to laugh. That's supposed to be one of our responses, not just awe, not shock and awe, not just wow, even though that's appropriate. But this is funny, the way God works. And if we can laugh with them, you know what? We can laugh with them while we're waiting for the Lord in our own situation. Instead of worry, instead of forgetfulness, instead of prayerlessness, start laughing with the Lord and say, Lord, I can't wait for when it's the right time. I'm so excited. Thank you, Lord, for the right time. Thank you, Lord, for waiting for just the right time. When I was 21 years old, I got a call from a Jewish friend of mine, Sarah Jane Sachs. She was up in the mountains outside of Roanoke, Virginia. She had a flat tire. No one would come to help her who was nearby. All of the hippie friends up in the mountains were occupied doing other things. And she called me. I hopped in my car, drove up there. And of course, I thought this is inconvenient. This is not good timing. But when we got up there, she didn't have a jack or a spare tire, so all I could do is bring her and her passengers home. But you know who's in her car? This young lady named Sandy. And I remember driving down the mountain, trying to look through the windshield while I'm looking through the rearview mirror the whole time, thinking about her. It was just the right time. It just looked like a flat tire to other people, but in God's hands, this was a matchmaking event. Who knows who I might have ended up with if I didn't go help with that tire that had gone flat. You may have situations like that, and you think, oh, what an inconvenience. You have no idea what may be ahead for you or for the person you're helping. Sandy was reminding me that on that day, she was taking care of a young girl, Christy, who was about how many years old? 12 years old. She was severely disabled. And Christy's parents, who were also friends of mine, as were her siblings, they trusted Sandy with her daughter. And so Sandy was taking care of a disabled little girl when there was this flat tire because, you know, they were all in the car. And it could have been that Sandy wasn't even there, but she was serving. She was doing something good for somebody else. You see how God can work? Flat tire, serving somebody who can't pay you back. God put it all together. I'm so glad. And in May, we celebrate our 40th anniversary. I'm giving thanks for flat tires. Maybe you've been waiting a long time. You've looked in this direction and that direction, but God is going to use a flat tire to put you in the right place at the right time. Maybe he knows that you'll never be able to get yourself in the right place at the right time, but if you serve someone who can't pay you back, you may find yourself in that place that he has in mind to turn into the greatest blessing you could imagine. When does God work? At just the right time. Don't give up. Keep doing good. At the right time, you'll get the harvest. I know a lot of you are waiting for something in life, and I want to encourage you, keep waiting, but wait for the Lord. Don't wait passively. Don't wait without faith. Don't wait without hope. Don't wait in discouragement. Don't say, it's been too long. There were some other girls I had thought were interesting when I was younger. When I met Sandy, I forgot all of them. I'm so glad. I'm so glad it wasn't one of those others. I can't imagine what my life would have been like had I gone in a different direction. But because of her and because of the life God gave us together, I came to know him. So it's one thing to get to know your beloved, your Besheret. That's terrific. It's a blessing in and of itself. But to get to know the Lord, that's even better. So I want to encourage you. Keep waiting, but wait for the Lord. And let him renew your strength. I want to pray for everyone who feels like they could use some extra strength as they're waiting for the Lord. If you want to stand up right now, I want to pray for you. If you had been waiting and you're thinking, I don't know if I can keep waiting, wait for the Lord. At the set time, at the due time, he'll do all that he's promised. Lord, I thank you that you speak and it comes to pass. That you're not a man that you would lie, but what you promise, you fulfill. And I thank you, Lord, that you know how to work in the right time. I pray for everyone now who's standing, who needs more strength, that they, as they're waiting for you, would be renewed in their strength. I pray that their hope would start overflowing because they're trusting in you. And because of that trust and that hope, they would be renewed, encouraged, and strong, and they would make the most of every opportunity that you present to them. I pray this in the name of Yeshua, the master of perfect timing. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Please remain standing. We're going to close with Aaron's blessing. If you're standing by yourself, just shuffle around so that you're not alone. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha Ya'ir Adonai p'navelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. I want to invite our ushers to come down with some challah. Come get some peace.